produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Grace, peace, joy, faith, love, Dr. V.
Thank you so much for the applause. Listen, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the month of April. I'm so excited about it. And because you are here listening live or archived to Love Your Making with Dr. V, Leader to Leader Sage Cup Conversation, we're in a season where we're still dealing with love reasoning. So I'm so excited that you're here because we're going to spring into just a deeper dive into what it means, particularly we're dealing with couples, to be that kind of love that kind of mirrored what God wanted for the church, how he loved the church, how Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And so, listen, let's pray real quick because we got to deep dive into this and I think it's going to really, really, really bless you. Once again, welcome into the month of April. We're in our Lenten season time. We're doing some amazing things. So one of those amazing things is that we pray. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, Father. We magnify your name this day. Father, we thank you for being so good to us, for being so merciful to us, for being a loving God, an unfailing love that you give us, the grace and mercy that you give us, the access to you that you give us. You said we can boldly come to the throne of grace and ask for help at a time of need. And Father, this is the time we need you. Yes, we do. We need you, Lord God. If we're going to lead with love, if we're going to have strong marriages, if the church is going to get stronger, families have got to get stronger, the community has got to get stronger, even the nation. You know, Lord God, we have a lot of prayer points for the nation. So as we come boldly to you in this prayer, we lift up every marriage all over the world, and particularly, Lord God, our own marriages, Lord God, and marriages to be. We just lift them up before you now, Father God. if you just keep us as the apple of your eye, which I know that is easy for you to do because you love us just that much. And Father God, help us to hold on to your truth. Help us, oh God, to receive your truth and walk in your truth. Father, help us, oh God, to desire what you desire for us. And that is that we go from glory to glory, from strength to strength, that we strengthen those things that remain that are ready to die, oh God. And in some of our relationships, our marriages, if they're ready to die, Father, we certainly lift them up high to you right now and ask you, oh God, to just hover over us until we desire to become one in you again, that we walk away from our self-centeredness, oh God, and become fixated and committed to your will and your way for our lives and the will and the way for our spouses, oh God, and that we present them, Lord God, to you as well. So much to pray for, Father God, but you know, Father God, what's on our heart, and we just thank you for blessing us exceedingly abundantly above what we could think to ask. And that's in your darling son Jesus' name. We praise you and we pray. We thank you, Father, for the leading of the Holy Ghost as he leads us and guides us into all truth in this broadcast. Amen. Listen, today, whenever you're listening, our topic under love reason is going to be listen. That's going to be the topic. I need everyone to just, you know, set up straight where you are, get a pen and piece of paper, get ready to take some notes about listening. Our mentoring scripture is James chapter 1, verse 19, which says, "Understand this, my beloved. Let every man be quick to hear." Be a ready listener and slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry. And we are using as one of our helps today, one of our co-authors of this broadcast, Joyce Myers, in her book, Wake Up to the Word, 365 Devotions to Inspire You Each Day. Thank you, Joyce, for being our co-teacher tonight in the broadcast. In her devotion, on page 233 of this amazing devotion, she says this: "To hearken, to give ear, to attend closely with a view to hear." That is what listening means. She goes on to say, in order for us to walk in love with others the way Jesus loves us, we must overcome a selfish, self-centered mindset and approach to life. One of the best ways to wage a war on selfishness is to realize that people are different and they need different things. Therefore, we can start training ourselves to really listen to what they tell us. I found, Joyce says, that if I listen to anyone for very long, I can walk away with a pretty specific knowledge of something I can get for them, do for them, or pray about for them if I really want to. The "I don't know what to do" excuse is an old one and needs to be put in the trash. If we really want to love others, we can find ways to do it. It all begins with being attentive, listening carefully, and looking for ways to bless the people in our lives. Remember, indifference makes excuses, but love, I love this last four words, love finds a way. Listen, love is going to find a way to get you, husband, get you, wife, to listen to each other. Listen deeply. Even the scripture says, those that have an ear, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And guess what? We are the church, individually and collectively, that's there. And so I thank God for Joyce being our co-teacher tonight. She says, listen, if you are committed to not being self-centered, you can possibly, very possibly, gain and one up on those who have practice self-centeredness so long that it flowed over into their relationships, flowed over into their marriages, flowed over into the church, and there you have it. Everybody in your inner circle is not feeling the love that they could possibly feel. They often might say to you, but you don't hear me. Are you really listening to me? Come on, how many times has your spouse said that? You know, sometimes I'll tell my husband, hold up, baby, I need you to hear me. He said, I hear you. No, I really need you to hear me out. And sometimes he'll interrupt me because he thinks he knows what I'm going to say. And I go, baby, let me say it. Let me finish. Let me finish. Because if you let me finish, I'm going to tell you what's on my heart. And then we can start from there, right? So I beg him. I implore him. I encourage him to listen to me. Because I promise you, with women, y'all know, right? With women, sometimes we start in a direction and we end somewhere else, right? It may start like we get ready to nag it, but we may say, ooh, honey, you didn't take the trash out, but I'm glad you didn't because I have something else in here that I need to put in there. See how that started and see how that ended? Or we may wake up on a Sunday morning and say, honey, did you get my dress out of the cleaners? And you get that look on your face, hubby, get that look on your face like, oh no, I'm in trouble. Just never mind, because I decided last night that I wanted to wear something different anyway. So not a problem, not a problem at all. See how women can start somewhere and end somewhere else? So it's important that husbands, listen, hear your wife all the way through till she get to the end. It may surprise you. It may even bless you, right? And vice versa. Women, listen. Wives, listen to your husband. Let him finish his thought out. Let him finish what he's going to say. Listen deeply. You know, my husband did this the other day, and it really, really blessed me. He came out of the bathroom. I was sitting here at my desk, and he says, he had this look on his face. He was smiling, going, what is he up to? He said, honey, I just want to tell you, you are some kind of wonderful wife. And I'm looking like, what did I do? What did I do? He said, no, really, I want to tell you, you're some kind of wonderful. And I'm still going like, but what did I do? I want to know what the wonderful was so I can do it again, right? Heads up, we're less than 2 years married. So we're still kind of sort of on our honeymoon, right? We're still trying to prove to each other that we made the best choice, right? But you know what he told me? This is so interesting. And I want to particularly put a pen right here and let women know. It's the simple thing sometimes. He said, babe, you got me an extra tube of glue for my teeth. My husband had all of his wonderful teeth taken out before we got married and got a great set of dentures that's there. And when I go to do grocery shopping, generally I'll pick him up one or two boxes so he'll never run out. But this is the first time since we've been married, he came back and said, you know what? I thank you for being that thoughtful to do that for me. Hello. I listened to him when he says, oh, babe, I ran out. So I made up in my mind, he's not going to ever run out again, because when I go to the store, I'm going to make sure I buy two boxes, right? Come on now. It may sound really simple, but you can take that simple way of listening and expound on it to any area in your communication channel, right? Women, be intuitive about what your husband needs. Anticipate those needs. To him, he translates that. His love language would be, she respects me. She honors me. She's sensitive about what my needs are. And she anticipates what my needs are. And she prepares and she comes with it, right? Men do the same kind of thing. A woman really, really, really loves it when you anticipate her needs. When you go without her asking you each time to do a particular thing. I get excited when hubby comes home and he knows that I love Canada Dry, right? Ah, yes, I love me some Canada Dry ginger ale. So he'll go out and he's working and he'll come home, and without calling me and asking me what I want, he comes home with what I like. And so I have to be careful with that, because I like cake, but I don't need him to come home with it, you know, every week. Because guess what? We'll be dealing with some other issues, right? But he's thoughtful that way, and I love it. And listen, the Bible tells us, this is how I support it. The Bible says God loves, a cheerful giver. which means that when you give out of forethought, you give out of, I delight in doing it. You're not begrudging. Oh man, I gotta get my wife a Canada Dry. Oh God, I gotta buy my husband two tubes of this or that. You know, whatever you do, do it with a cheerful spirit. Do it willingly. Do it because you want to, and you need to be able to communicate that to your spouse that, listen, this is my love reasoning with you. I want to anticipate what your needs are, and I want to come with it, right? That's what I want to do. You know, I believe that we all could be that kind of thoughtful. That's another way of saying that we're not self-centered. We're thinking about the needs and the desires of our spouse. That's what we're doing. Okay. Listen, we're going to take a station break, just a quick second, and we will be right back. You hold on. Okay. So thank you for allowing me to have that quick pause. I wanted to tell you that one reason I'm so very excited about talking about love reasoning in this season is because I believe that God has it on his heart to do something so amazing in our hearts and in our relationships. You know, if you listen, if you would just open up the Bible, you will see in there that we're living in the last days, that we're, there'll be a lot of chaos in the land, a lot of deception in the land, mothers against daughters and sons against sons, and, you know, just not, no really cohesiveness. You know, you watch the news a little bit, there's husbands murdering wives and children and all this kind of stuff. And guess what? Listen, it is not far from the church. So, you know, my passion is, and I think in God's passion, he's going to start at the church. He's going to start at the head, the under shepherds. He's going to start with his leaders. Let me see what I can do in the heart of my leaders. Let me see if I can get my leaders to lead with love, even in their marriages. Listen, one act of loving is learning and practicing not only the art of listening, but the art of being silent. The Bible says, study to be quiet. Be quiet long enough to hear what your spouse is saying so you can hear their heart. And then in your heart, be really committed to being cheerful about seeing how you can meet that need. Listen, the Bible says that we should give ourselves to each other. We should become one. The Bible tells us that we should... you know, as much as depends on us, rather to be live peaceably one with the other. How many of you know if a person feels like they're being listened to, that brings peace to their heart? I know my husband is going to hear what I have to say. I know my wife is going to hear me out. That brings peace to their heart. They don't expect that you're going to be, you know, you're going to cut them short or not listen to their concerns or care about the desires on their heart, you know, that kind of thing. That simple regard of listening is a powerful love language and a powerful way of bringing oneness and fortifying the oneness in your marital relationships. And again, I truly believe that a good marriage will help a good family stay together and grow together, and great healthy families will be a blessing to churches, right? Listen, all over the world, and particularly here in America, we've gone through COVID to where families were forced to kind of be together a little longer than they had anticipated, right? Because you couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't go to work, especially when we were totally shut down. And so couples had to learn how to be with one another in that house for additional 7 to 8 to 12 hours, and they were not used to being that. So they had to learn some new courtesies. They had to learn how to figure out how to be in the home with the children, if they still had children, or fill up that time being in regard to their spouse that is there, that was normally not there, at least during those hours. And so statistics say that it really taxed marriages, that there was so much togetherness, they didn't know how to handle it. I want to tell you that if we would do a survey, Just saying, if we would do a survey, we would interview those couples and we would ask them what was the most challenging part about being with your spouse longer during the day than you were used to because of, you know, you were shut in together. They would say, I learned that I didn't really listen very well to my wife, or I didn't listen very well to my husband, or there were times that where I didn't want to hear anything that they had to say during the course of the day. Why? It was too much. I'd gotten used to dealing with them after they came home from work or before they went to work. But this time between, you know, getting up and going to bed at night and I've got to be present with them, it was challenging. And so that, listen, as a counselor, mental health counselor, as well as a minister, you know, and a pastor, I've learned to really spend a whole lot of time getting couples just to learn how to love by listening, just to learn how to study to be quiet so that you can really hear the other person's point of view. Not that you have to agree with it, but you can agree to not be disagreeable. That you can do. But also, what I found out is not only did I have to help couples listen to one another, I had to help couples listen to their children. Yes. How many times do we, you know, I grew up in that baby boomer areas and they were still telling us children ought to be seen and not heard. And some of us still act like that today, but I'm telling parents, oh no, you need to know what your children are thinking. You need to listen to them. You need to hear them out. They need to tell you some things. They may be afraid to tell you that they're being bullied or they're being inappropriately approached by people who shouldn't be approaching them. So many dark secrets kids have these days until they act out upon them. And usually when they do that, whoa, wow, we're in a whole lot of trouble. Yep, preacher's kids too, right? So leaders, listen to each other, husband and wife, listen to your children. We're trying to strengthen the family as well too. I want to tell you about one couple that I really admire as leaders. And I thank God that we had their example. You remember when Michelle Obama and they were in the White House, you know, with, you know, President Obama. And, you know, we love the way they publicly loved on each other. But when you read her book on Becoming and the Light that You Have, we find out that they had to work on that. They had to work on being together privately and then publicly. And what I encourage leaders in the church, work on being loving and kind and gentle and listening at home. Because if you don't, when you get to church, guess what? It's going to be evident that you haven't been listening to each other, that you haven't been loving each other in that way. I'm just saying it will come out. Truth close to earth will rise again, someone just said. So listen, I want to spend a whole lot of time in this area because God expects us to hear him. In fact, he teaches us that by saying, when this poor man cried, God heard him and delivered him from all of his destructions. That's there. If God has time to listen to us diligently and respond to us appropriately in a way that will heal us, then we need to learn that listening is also not only an act of loving, but it's an act of healing. Sometimes it may be your spouse's first relationship to where somebody really truly heard them out and listened to them and regarded how they were feeling, regarded the issues that were flowing from their heart. And so you may be, and I've often been told, we heal within the context of relationship. We heal with our relationship as we regard it important with the Lord. We need to not only listen to the Lord lead us, but we need to listen to our spouses, our loved ones. We need to listen to our children. We need to listen to our congregation that's there. And listen, take it to prayer. I'm not saying that you have to be everything and get everything, address everything to the degree that you're not able to do so, but I'm just saying, at least listen, that way you'll know how to take it to prayer. Sometimes we may not know the answer, but the act of listening well and deeply and compassionately, and when I say care frontively, it's a babe, I'm gonna pray about that. I'm gonna take, let's pray about that. Let's grab hands right now and pray about this together so that we can both become be a part of the solution, and we can both feel supported in this place. I'm just saying, it's okay, leaders, for you to not know all the answers immediately, but we have a God that we can source ourselves from. He says, if you lack wisdom, ask me, God says. I give it what? Liberally, freely. So when is the last time you grab your spouse's hand and said, baby, let's go to the Lord to get the wisdom of the Father on this. Let's get the heart and the mind of Jesus Christ in regard to what we're going through as a couple. Come on now. Particularly, I'm of the African-American persuasion. I'm telling you right now, Black men and some Black women, we have a hard time trying to get the multitude of counselors in our relationships before our relationships fall apart. Ask me how I know. I am a witness. You know, I was married for 25 years to an amazing man. I know he loved God, but he did not believe in going for counseling. Huh? And so our marriage, you know, died in the water. Because we did not learn how to bring the best out of each other. We did not learn how to listen. We're great friends right now. He's remarried. Yes, I'm happy about that. I'm glad he's with someone now that can bring out the best in him. And guess what? Dr. V is with someone now who brings out the best in her. But I've learned a whole lot. And I'm sure my ex-husband has learned a whole lot too about the power of listening. Listening deeply. It's a love language, and I want you to try it. Listen, we're going to talk about this again next time we're together. But until then, let's just pray about it together right now. Father, I thank you for listening to every couple that is listening to this broadcast and teaching them by the Holy Spirit how to listen to each other so their marriages might be strengthened, that they might go from strength to strength, and that their families be strengthened and the church be strengthened. And Father, we'll give you all the praise and we'll give you all the glory as you provide us this that we need to so that we might represent you well in the kingdom. And it's in your son Jesus' name that we praise you and we pray. This has been Dr. V. Thank you for tuning in to Love Your Making. I have a passion to encourage you as a leader to lead with love. And today, my desire was to get you to listen as your love language. God bless you until we see, until we talk, until we hear, and most of all, until we listen to each other again. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello, hello. This is Benita DeReese with Create Your Own You. As I always say, be who you are supposed to be and not what others want you to be. That, you know, that's just one of my things. A lot of us always get stuck on, you know, what other people are thinking about us and what we should do. I mean, I see it a lot on social media. I see it a lot just hearing it from friends and family. And, you know, it's just, you know, at some point you just have to step out on your own, step out on faith, and just be who you want to be and do what you want to do and create the person that you want to be in life and be the best you can be as possible. Well, today, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to talk about branding yourself, especially if you're in business. And this is another thing of creating yourself. You know, in business, we always get so confused. We get so mixed up with all these different distractions, looking at other people and looking at their success, and we're wondering why we can't get there, or we just keep procrastinating on what we should be doing. Instead, we just keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling on social media, watching everyone else with their success, but we're still just, you know, we're just looking in the fishbowl. So I thought, you know, once you decide on what you want to do in life, and you want to go in back into business, one of the things that you're going to have to do is brand yourself. Now, branding yourself is kind of like what makes you different from everybody else, even though you may be in the same field as others. But what makes you different? So maybe you're a financial advisor. Maybe you're an insurance agent. Maybe you're a travel agent. Maybe you are in a network marketing company. Maybe you are in healthcare, a doctor, a lawyer, any of those things. You know, you can brand yourself and become an identity that people will recognize. So when branding yourself, you really want to think about, you know, what exactly do you want to do? What exactly is going to be like your target market? What do you want to produce? What area that you want to go into when branding yourself? So say like if you want to brand in, let's say, just insurance agents. There's so many insurance companies out here. You see them on TV, you know, have so many other independent agencies. What is it about your agency that's going to be different from all other agencies? Maybe once a year you put on a customer appreciation ball or something. Maybe once a year you, or on people's birthdays, you actually pick up the phone and call and wish them happy birthday. Or if you know if they had a wedding or an anniversary coming up, maybe you just do a personal card and send it to them, you know, wishing them happy birthday or, you know, congratulations on their wedding or, you know, many more anniversaries. You have to find out what exactly is going to make you stand out from everybody else in your target market or your target area that you're trying to get into. One thing you do have to do is you need to determine your unique value proposition. And what that means is you need to figure out the identity. You know, what is the identity of your company? You know, what makes you unique? And hopefully, you know, with trying to figure that out, you know, you could brainstorm and go into different areas and say, what is my proposition? How do my peers look at me? What is my strength? What is my passion? What are my goals? You know, if you was to, let's say, you wanted to leave your job in a couple months or you wanted to leave your job in a couple years, what would you need to do to leave your job? So you need to determine what the unique value proposition is. You know, other than that, you need to see how others see you as. You know, how do people trust you? Will people purchase things or purchase items or services from you? What are some areas that you're going to be like, okay, how can I push this product or how can I push this service, and how can I determine my target audience? Do I want to work with the millennials? Do I want to work with the baby boomers? Do I want to work with Generation X? You know, what area or target audience do you want to work with? Do you want to work with single moms? Do you want to work with single individuals? Do you want to work with couples? Do you want to work with people who lost a loved one? Do you want to work with, you know, do you want customers coming to you that, you know, that may be had, that have depression, you know, and you have overcome your depression, and how, you know, you possibly can help them do the same thing. So Always see what area that you want to go into and your target market that you want to be of service to, because that's the thing. You want to give out great value in whatever area that you go into, and you want to be of service. You know, money comes into play, of course. You know, that's the ultimate end goal. But what's the service, you know, you're going to bring up? What's the service that you want to help people? You have to think about helping people in order to make money. So what you know, and like I said, I always think of money last. I always think of how can you help first. What can I do to help this person in this situation? How can I create some type of business to help people who have may have lost a sibling or someone who may have lost a child at an early age? What can I do to help those people and, you know, create a tribe around them? And, you know, that could be your own unique tribe. You know, definitely also, let's do step, I can make this step three. You know, identify your goals. You know, in 1, 2, 10, 3, 5, 3, 7 years, 10 years, where do you want to be at? What do you want to see? I would always say, you know, start with your first 6 months. Then after your first 6 months, make it like an 18-month commitment, because it really takes some time to build your business, and it's going to take probably a good 18 months to 2 years or so, maybe a little more, to actually get your customers that you are looking for, because, you know, it's going to take some time for you to do your research. And you may also want to take some classes to get more research and more value so you can train and teach others on the topic that you want to service people in. And we always make the mistake of, you know, like I was saying earlier, we're always looking at other people and saying, oh, I wish I can do that. Oh, I wish I should do that. Or, you know, you had the idea, like, you know, at first you wanted to be an insurance agent, and then you see somebody else over here, they're being a, say, a holistic coach, and then you say, oh, that sounds interesting. And then you look over, you know, somebody else's page, they're being a health coach, and all of these things now got you distracted from what your original goal was. So when you're branding yourself, you have to be really, really specific on what your target market is and what you are servicing that target market, and don't get distracted from that. I mean, I've done it several times. You know, my background is a travel agent, but I've also like financial coaching. So, you know, travel agent and financial coaching, those are two things that I like, but people know me for being a travel agent. So, you know, when I mention financial stuff, people are like, huh, what? You know, what are you talking about, or when did that start? But I've been actually doing financial coaching for some time now, but like I said, most people know me from being a travel agent because I've done that longer than I have done, you know, the financial coaching piece of it. So also when you are promoting yourself, let's say that you are with like a company, let's say like a network marketing company or an MLM company that's, you know, selling beauty products or something. You really want to brand yourself, but you want to make sure that you're not really branding the company, because branding the company gets the company more attention. It doesn't get you more attention. So when you're branding yourself, say that company was to shut down for whatever reason, you still can start a whole new beauty line in your own, in the company's name of your choice, or start another company with beauty products, with another network company with beauty products, and you'll be, you know, people won't even realize you transition companies because you branding yourself as a beauty expert or a makeup artist or someone who loves to go shopping for clothes. You know, branding yourself around certain companies, people get caught up with just the company, 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 making sure everybody know I'm with this company, I'm with this company, I'm with this company. Take a step back and brand you. What makes you different in that company? Because you're going to want more customers, and you're going to want, you know, a lot of times those particular companies, you recruit people. So you're going to want to know how to make yourself different from everybody that's in that particular company or everybody that's in a competing company. So try not to brand so much on the company, but make you the brand of that company. And when making yourself the brand of the company, you can pretty much do like a little business. You want to make sure that you have maybe certain colors for your brand. You know, you might want to do blue and orange or blue and yellow. But whatever your brand is and whatever the brand color you're going to use, make sure you are consistent using those colors, because your colors, let's say your colors is blue and yellow and white. So whenever people see that background, blue, yellow, and white, they're going to automatically think, oh, that's Vanita DeReese. Oh, those are her colors. Let me see exactly what she got going on, or what items that she have selling, what makeup products she have that she have specials on. And they'll look at the makeup product more than they will look at the company, and they'll look at you more than they'll look at the company, because you're branding yourself with those, you know, different targeted markets with the colors. Also, create yourself a logo. You can create yourself a logo. Make sure that logo is still also the colors that you're going to brand yourself on any type of social media sites. With the social media sites, you want to, you know, I would say learn one at a time. So if you're big on Facebook, I would brand on Facebook first. You know, if you're big on Instagram, I would brand on Instagram. Wherever your main target audience is and what you are more comfortable with using, I would use that particular platform first so that people notice and realize who you are, especially if you're new. Because a lot of us are new getting into business, and we just don't know what we're doing, or we just don't have no idea what we're doing, I should say. And when that happens, you want to know, you know, you want to just go splatter everything on every page. You want to go on YouTube. You want to go on Facebook. You want to go on Instagram. You want to do Twitter. It's this new thing that got out, what is it, TikTok or something like that, something new that came out recently that everybody is on and doing on that. So, you know, you get so overwhelmed, so confused how to work all these different sites if you're trying to do them all at one time. What's going to ultimately happen is you're going to just say, forget it. This is just too much. I want to just go back to work. Let me just do my 9-to-5, because you allowed yourself, one, to get distracted, and you allowed yourself to get overwhelmed. And when in business, you don't want to get too overwhelmed, because it is a distraction. Because in your mind, you're going to say, oh, I can't do this, or where can I go for help? Nobody's here to help me. You want to just make sure that you are staying the course, write everything down that you want to accomplish, write your goals down that you want to accomplish, and a goal needs to have a deadline. Make sure there is a deadline to that goal, because if you just write it down, it probably won't happen. But if you put the deadline to it, so you want to create a blog, you know, by April 1st. Just put a, you know, blog April 1st. Write it in your calendar so it'll be done, and you'll have it. And that's also, you know, another way of branding yourself is creating a blog if you're really good at writing, or if you want to hire a virtual assistant to do the blog for you. There's so many areas that people can help you with doing, you know, branding yourself. You can hire yourself a branding coach. Somebody can train and teach you how to brand yourself properly. You can hire yourself, you know, a marketing person who do marketing on social media, and they can just do all the marketing for you. And then that way you don't have to worry about all of that. It's being taken care of. And then you can focus on, you know, maybe creating a course for your brand, maybe doing speaking events for your brand, maybe going to conferences, you know, getting yourself out there so people know who you are and exactly what you do, what your services are, what you want people to follow you, and, you know, gain people trust. Because people don't buy from people they don't trust. They really don't. So if you just inbox somebody, say, hey, I just started this new company, and I sell less skincare, and, I'm doing a 50% discount. You know, people are going to look at you like, who is this person? I don't even know who she is or who he is, but they're asking me to buy something from them. So you want to make sure people trust you. You want to give out value. That's when people really start to trust you, you and your brand, is when you start to give out value. You know, do a free webinar. you know, do a go live on Facebook show several times a week. Give value around the topic that you want people to eventually purchase from you. You know, once you give out value and once people start seeing your face and noticing you and understanding exactly what you are creating for yourself and your family, or you may want to do something huge and create some huge company where you're going to have to hire employees. Sometimes that is the ultimate goal. You want to hire employees so that you have employees that work for you and helping you with your brand. So you can have a whole company that's, you know, you can have somebody in your company that do, like I said earlier, your branding for you, your social media for you, and you can just go and do exactly what you are geared to do, and that's probably motivational speaking. That's going to colleges, going to high schools, you know, just areas where you really want to be at. You don't want to be, you know, just feel like you stuck and you don't know where to go for help, or you don't know what exactly to do. Also, I will also say that, you know, when branding yourself, you want to make sure that you pay attention to details, okay? Details, 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 you know, because a lot of times you probably sending emails out, you're sending stuff on Facebook, you're sending a contract to a corporate company where you want to do like a corporate training. You want to make sure you're paying attention to details. So when I say that is paying attention to details, you want everything to kind of match. And as I mentioned earlier, the colors and your logo and things of that nature. So when you're sending stuff to corporate companies, maybe you want to teach the corporate company how to save more on your paycheck. You know, that can be the title of the proposition that you're sending, over to the company. And you want to, you know, if they might want to research you, they want to see if you have an Instagram, or they may want to see if you have a LinkedIn. They're going to research you, definitely. So you want to make sure everything looks the same. In addition to, you want to make sure your name is the same. So my name is Vanita DeReese. So on everything that I have, I will put Vanita DeReese. I will put that on my business cards. I will put that on my my email address. It would be on my social media accounts. It would be everywhere that someone probably want to search for me. It's going to say Vanita DeReese. And you don't want to go and then put Vanita DeReese / my last name is technically Ziegler. So, you know, I don't use my last name. So I wouldn't put my last name on maybe my website. So everything else will have Vanita DeReese, and then my website have Vanita Ziegler. See, those two don't work. People won't understand that it's the same person. So you want to make sure on everything that you use that you are using the exact same name. Now, it's different when you want to come up with a company, because you can say, let's say my company is Create Your Own You. So most people know Create Your Own You is, you know, that's my company. So when you associate Create Your Own You, you're going to associate Vanita DeReese. When you associate, let's say, it's a young lady that has her thing, her company is Show Your Success. Everybody know that's Taria Avant. You know, everybody knows she's a book writer. I mean, not a book writer. She helped people publish books. But everybody know Show Your Success is her company. I'm sorry, the owner is Taria Avant. So, you know, you think of things like that where it's make sure everything is associated with you. You know, even with Lisa Nicole. Yeah. She has, you know, a Millionaire Success Writing Club. Everybody knows that's her thing that she do twice a year. So, you know, you want to make sure if you are doing a company or if you're doing a business, you know, make sure you get it out there that it's your name. So everybody was like, oh, that's who that is. You know, she's familiar. They're familiar with maybe you do help people publish books. And your company name is Royalty Free. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. Your name is, you know, your publishing company is called Royalty Free. But everybody know Royalty Free is probably let's say, Jenny Jones company. So, you know, they just know that that is associated with her company. So you always want to just make sure everything looks the same. Everything looks identical. You know, you don't want to lose money or you don't want to lose out on a proposal or on a contract because a CEO looked and was like, nope, that looks a little fishy. We're not going to go with her. We're not going to go with him. We're going to, you know, let's look for somebody that is more solid, somebody that has more training or more information or, you know, their website look better or their social media page look better. And another thing with while I'm talking about social media is on your social media page, you want to make sure, like I said, they will research you if you're trying to do big things with, you want to do things with corporates. They will look at your social media page. So make sure you're branding yourself on social media as an expert. So you don't want to have on your social media page, one, when they go look, and it's your profile picture is a picture of a dog. They don't know who that is. Or the profile picture is a picture of a kid or a cartoon character. That's not being professional. You want a clean, clear picture of yourself for your profile picture. Now, your Facebook banner, you want to have something probably pertaining to your name or your company, something positive up there, because you don't want to have some cartoon Facebook banner up there, or you don't want to have a bunch of roses and flowers, no words or anything up there, because they're not going to understand that, you know, you're a professional. And the thing about it, you make everything look as professional as possible. Then look at your content on your social media page. You know, you want to make sure there's not a lot of negativity on your social media page. I would really, really stay away from politics because that can become very, very messy. Very messy and really, really quickly. So you don't want to probably do politics on your social media page. You want to talk about positive things. You want to probably put quotes out. You want to put out things that what people would attract you, would attract them to look at your page and possibly do business with you just by looking at your social media page. You don't want to have your family and friends posting baby pictures of you in the bathtub or things of that nature. You know, we all got those baby pictures that's, you know, hiding somewhere. You know, we got the bathtub baby pictures, you know. So you don't want pictures like that on your page. You know, you want as much positivity and business information on your page as possible. Now, don't spam your page and talk about business. You want to show some family events. You want to probably put a positive quote out there. You may want to put something as far as a free webinar. You know, you want to put maybe you got a book coming out, but don't spam it to where everybody's on your page and they looking like all she had to do is talk about her business. All he has is his business stuff. You want to make your page relatable to people, okay? You want to make it relatable. You don't want to make it where it turns people off from your social media page or any social page that you're using. You do not want to turn people away. You want to attract them. So you want to make sure your page is as professional as possible, and you want to that's part of branding, is making sure your page is not, you know, having craziness all on it, a lot of distractions. Your page can be distracting if you allow it to be. Some people you may just say have to inbox them and say, hey, I had to delete that off of my page because I am a professional, and I don't want people on my page looking at what you just posted on my page. So I just wanted to let you know, give you the courtesy on why I deleted that post off my page. You know, a lot of people will understand, like, okay, yeah, he or she is in business. They want their page to be as professional as possible. You also can put on, you know, go into your settings where people cannot even post on your page, so that way you have completely control of your branding of your page. I mean, complete control, because the only way people can post, if you allow, you know, if you say they can, and you have to approve it to be posted, but most people also do their business page. So you can set up two different pages. You have your personal page or your business page on any kind of social media account that you want to use. But that's, you know, I just definitely want to make sure that when you're, you know, people understand branding, you really want to figure out what makes you different from any other brand, especially if it's a brand of, you know, people out there that's doing all these, you know, there's a lot of coaches out there. So it's a huge arena. And if you want to be in a coaching space or you want to start creating courses, what is actually going to make you different? That's what you want to figure out when branding yourself. The other thing, next, I'm just going to repeat what I said earlier. How are you going to promote yourself? What areas, what media, social media sites that you're going to promote yourself and what you're going to provide as a service? What will make you different? Now, branding yourself, you know, what will make you different? Making yourself different in the branding space is, you know, like I was saying earlier, probably calling people on their birthdays. You know, that's really good. Personal, a handwritten letter. People don't do handwritten letters no more. Handwritten, no, you know. You know, what's going to make you different? That's the thing about branding. And you want to make sure you are loyal and people are going to trust you. So you want to be loyal and you want people to trust you. And that's how people start to follow you, and that's how people start to recommend you, and that's how people will buy your product or services that you have. And like I said earlier before, people buy from people who they trust. And that's so big right there. They have to trust you in order to buy from you. So make sure you're not spamming people. I know you see a lot of it on social media. Kind of just stop and think about how you can attract people without spamming people to your page or spamming them in their messenger or anything like that. So I hope that helps this week in regards to branding yourself. I will be back in probably another week and a half or so with a new topic. And this is Vanita DeReese with Create Your Own You. Always be the person you are supposed to be and not who someone wants you to be. Peace and blessings to everyone around the world. Have a good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're at.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.